Welcome in, McElroy and Kubelik in the morning, 7:01 a.m., Monday, December 5th, right here on Jocks 94.5. I am pumped about this show. It is Portal Monday. The transfer portal will be flooded today. We will have updates throughout the course of the show. A lot of guys have stated that they were going to go in over the last couple of weeks, last couple of days, but they will all officially be going in today. The college football playoff is set. Georgia is in. Michigan is in. Ohio State is in. TCU is in. Do you have a problem with it? Do you think it's okay? Do you like it? Are you interested? 800-239-9569 gets you into the show. Paul Feinbaum with us at 8 o'clock today, and that's it. We have nothing else. We are going to go through the games from over the weekend. Compelling matchups, interesting matchups. Only one super competitive game that we're going to talk about. Well, maybe a couple, because that Samford game was incredible down to the end. But as far as P5 games, really the only one that was overly competitive was the Big 12 title game where TCU goes down, yet they still get in. How do you feel about that? What's the point of championship Saturday if the team's going to lose and then they're still going to get in? Do you have concerns about Georgia giving up over 500 yards passing to LSU? Most of that from a backup quarterback. I think Nussmeier taught us some things about him and his potential as well down the road. Some performances ugly over the weekend. USC, ugh. I think the narrative on that team is going to be out for a while. And how much longer is it going to take to change the culture of that program and what it is? Alabama not in. Did they deserve it? Should they have been in? We can run through resumes. We can talk wins. We can talk losses. For me, honestly, at the end of the day, I think it's tough to really be mad at it because after you got past, well, really after you get past two, I think they're all lumped together. And the fact that there's no discussion, almost no discussion about TCU not being in, I think to me is a little bit bothersome. A lot of folks just look at it and say, okay, we just put them in. They're in, right? And that was the problem last week. It was Georgia, it was Michigan, it was TCU. Oh, if they win, they're in. If they win, they're in. If they win, they're in. They've already deserved their opportunity to be in. I'm not okay with that. I don't like it. So, Georgia dominant in the SEC championship game, 50-30. They are the one seed. They deserve it. Michigan steps on the gas late after some early struggles against Purdue. They are 13-0, your Big Ten champions. They are in. No questions. Shouldn't have any. TCU was 3 last week. They lose to a 3-loss Kansas State team, and they don't move. They don't budge. Well, part of you look at it and you say, Ohio State didn't play. Bama didn't play. Tennessee didn't play. All right, well. But all that talk that we've heard the last couple of years about conference champions, we favor the conference champions over everybody else. All right. Did Kansas State deserve to get in? Should Clemson have leapfrogged everybody and gotten in? Greg and I told you last week about this committee and about the committee in general, how the narratives will change based on the year. Game control. Body clock. This year, outwardly discussing points and points scored and how fast teams scored. And maybe one thing down the road that we'll discuss about this committee was having their mind made up way too early. Way too early. Because I'm going to tell you right now, after Michigan, I don't really know. I know a lot of you are going to call in and say, be Bama because of this. Okay, fine. Could you not make the same argument for Tennessee, who beat that team? South Carolina lost was ugly. I'm not going to defend it. Not as lucky after they go and beat the ACC champions on the road. Ohio State, did they have a lot of great wins? No, they didn't. Alabama didn't beat a team that has 9 wins this year. Their best win is an 8-win football team. So it's hard for me to sit there and say definitively they should be in. And we had the discussion last week. I don't get into the whole would be favored, should be favored. I'm not about that. It's not for me. Alabama had 3 wins against teams that had 8 wins or more. 4 wins against team above 500. Tennessee, 5 wins against team above 500. 2 wins against teams that had 9 or more wins. 5 wins against team that had 8 or more wins. Ohio State, 3 wins against teams that had 8 or more wins. 5 wins against teams above 500. Just 1 win against a team that had 9 wins. That was that Penn State game. Here's a weird curveball for you. How important was the Penn State-Auburn game this year? Think back to that game. Auburn gets that game. I mean, we could talk about the coaching thing and how that may have changed. What does that do to Penn State's resume? They're not a 10-win football team anymore. They went to SEC country and couldn't win. All of a sudden, that affects Ohio State's resume. Alabama has another team that's over 500 on their resume, as does Georgia. They didn't need it. Didn't matter. I will not, by the way, because yesterday people on Twitter were coming at me with this. I will not be throwing out pieces of Michigan and Georgia's resume today. So when I talk about teams that are over 500 that they've defeated, or teams with 8 wins, 9 wins, teams defeated, Michigan and Georgia will not be a part of that discussion. Why? They didn't need to be. They don't need to be. But for some reason, a lot of folks had but Georgia and but Michigan going yesterday. But Georgia beat this man. Folks, we weren't debating that team. There's no argument that needs to be constructed. Not only are they in, they're unquestionably the best team in college football right now. Chill out. TCU, 6 wins against teams above 500. 2 wins against teams with 8 wins or more. 1 win against a team that has 9 or more wins. But then that becomes really tricky because your best win is a team that you lost to. You decide how that plays out. So if you took, here's the weird part about it. If you took TCU's overall opponent record, it would be 83-75. But if you only counted Kansas State once, it would be 73-72. So how do you vary that? Just for fun, for example, Georgia 94-63. Alabama's would be 81-63. Tennessee's 86-59. Ohio State's 76-70. So we didn't have to talk about USC. We know what happened. They got punched in the face on Friday night. So we knew the group of teams that would be left that we'd be talking about. Georgia handled their business. Michigan handled their business. And then we come down with this group of teams that I could convince myself that TCU should be in. I could convince myself they shouldn't. The same with Ohio State, same with Bama, same with Tennessee. And then I think after that, if you're talking about the way teams are playing right now, how about the way Utah's playing right now? If you want to go 2 years from now and think about a 12 team, how about the way Utah's playing right now? How about the way Kansas State's playing right now? That would become very interesting. And then we're going to get some games that might not be so interesting. So there's a lot to discuss today, a lot to get to today. We got coaching changes. Jamie Chadwell's going to Liberty, getting a massive raise to go to Liberty. Alex Golas, Tennessee offensive coordinator, will be the new head coach at South Florida. Not going to coach the bowl game. We've got bowl game announcements that we've got to get to. Let you know where everybody's going to be. Obviously, these college football playoff matchups, we got to get to those. DJ Uiagalelei heading to the portal. There are some big names in the portal. Graham Mertz, Wisconsin quarterback, is in the portal. All of a sudden, Graham Mertz is a great college quarterback again. There have been three points in time in which Graham Mertz has been a great college quarterback. One, the one great game he had, which I think was 3 years ago.
3 years. It's been a while.
That was the first time. Currently searching for 300-yard games by Graham Mertz. This year, it's looking like a zero. Last year, it's a definitive zero.
And the year before?
The year before, it's a definitive zero.
Okay.
The year before that, it's a zero. Yes, He's played 4 years.
Interesting.
Graham Mertz has not thrown for 300 yards in a game yet. Because his name hits the portal, that's a big name.
Is it?
Oh, it's a quarterback. Kentucky fans, pump the brakes.
Pump the brakes a little bit.
That might be another coaching situation to watch today.
Oh, boy.
Not the head coach. A familiar name that has potentially been there before might be coming back. Just watch. Just keep an eye on it.
Joker Phillips.
Wow. No.
Oh.
They need an offensive coordinator. They don't need a head coach.
Oh, my fault. No.
But some of these guys are going to hit the portal, and all of a sudden we're going to think they're great players again. Graham Mertz is a great example. I see a lot of people talking about Graham Mertz.
For
oh, he's in the portal. Oh, he could change our program.
NIL. That's what it is. That's what it was.
That was the third time.
The third time
that people thought he was a great college quarterback was when he put his logo out.
That's it. That's what it is.
Three times. One, what's the game that I even thought he was great? The Illinois game in 2020. He was 20 of 21.
Oh, boy.
For 248.
Let's go.
Five touchdowns, no interceptions.
Come on now.
He finished the season with nine touchdowns and five interceptions.
Okay.
He doesn't even have a boatload of 200-yard games. Much less.
Well, you got to think. System,
doesn't have a 300.
The system fit Wisconsin ground and pound.
I don't care. 300 ain't what it used to be.
No.
Give me a 300-yard game.
Hey, just one.
So, but a lot of these guys, DJ Uiagalelei, he gets benched in the first quarter. Cade Klubnik looks like the guy that we heard about in recruiting, and he's off somewhere else. I don't know if it can be found. I don't know if it can be reconstructed. I don't know if it can be put back together again. But it feels like the Humpty Dumpty that is DJ Uiagalelei fell off the wall and is broken.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there are three wise men, a group of mechanics, a quarterback coach that can reconstruct that deal. I just don't know. I have no idea. Because there have been some things the last couple of weeks that are inexplicable with the way he's been playing quarterback.
A couple weeks?
Well, he's had some good moments. But these last few weeks this year, second half of this year has been bad. Just not easy to watch. We had some awesome in-state stuff happen. Troy grabs a Sunbelt championship. Samford is moving on. They go to overtime. Backup quarterback gets them the win. Big run in late to be able to get that game. And now they go to North Dakota State.
Say that one more time.
They go to North Dakota State.
Yeah.
Here's the good news for Samford fan. You're inside. You're playing in the Fargo Dome.
True.
So you're air raid, you're up-tempo, you're fast, you pitch it around a lot. That is big.
Keep it
two,
rolling.
You go fast. The North Dakota State crowd is the most intelligent group of college football fans that I've ever done a game in front of. They know exactly when to make noise, exactly when to be quiet. They know how to be loud. They are incredible. Going fast will be critical for Samford in that game.
That's something if
they can keep the tempo and the pace, they keep the crowd out of it. And that crowd affects games. I've been there. It is really, really loud. But being inside is also a big benefit to Samford. Now, I think they gave up almost 400-yard rushing again.
Yeah.
The rush defense is a concern because we know that team is going to run it.
Oh, yeah.
They are going to run it a lot. All right, so we got a ton to get to today. Heisman Trophy, where is it? Who's going to win the national championship? We take all your calls, get all your thoughts on everything listed above. Dave is in New Jersey, wants to chime in. Welcome into the show, Dave.
Cole, how you doing? It's a great honor to talk to you. I really love your work. You're my favorite sideline reporter. You do a great job. I love your show.
Thank you, Dave.
Listen, I'm not saying Alabama should be in the playoff, okay? I have two kids down there. I would have liked Alabama to have been in the playoff. They're not. But my issue is really, and the point I want to bring up is with the media, the coverage of this. You get people like, and I wish Greg were there because he's one of them. You got Greg, you've got Feinbaum, you've got David Pollack. Why are none of them standing up for the SEC in general? These Big Ten teams, you know, of course Alabama is not going to have as many wins against teams in the top 20 because all their league games are against teams that beat each other up during the year. The Big Ten teams are padding their records with big wins against garbage teams like Rutgers, Indiana, Northwestern. There's no easy weeks in the SEC. And nobody brought that up. David Pollack's just happy because he knows Alabama is the only team that could give Georgia a fight. Okay? But Feinbaum, Greg, nobody stood up for the SEC yesterday, and I'm really disappointed in them.
I think what you say is true. I think both parts. We're trying to connect to Greg. He's still up in Bristol after doing the selection show yesterday, hoping to have him join us at some point in time throughout the course of the show today. And I agree with you. The Big Ten did not have a great year. I mean, you take Ohio State and Michigan out. I think Penn State was a good football team. I do think Illinois was a good football team. I think Purdue was pretty good. I think they're a little bit one-dimensional. We saw that late against Michigan. Fool's Gold, Iowa. Fool's Gold, Minnesota. But then if you're going to say Iowa and Minnesota are not very good, or you don't think they're quality teams, I think you have to bring into the discussion Kentucky. You bring into the discussion maybe an Arkansas. You bring into the discussion maybe a Mississippi State, where pieces of those teams are difficult to manage, but they're not a great football team. Florida would be a good example of that. Like, yeah, super athletic quarterback, guys who can run on defense, not a great football team. So I would put the SEC ahead of the Big Ten, but I also think that the back half of the middle and the bottom of the SEC is not what it's been in other years.
Reality is, this is going to be a very boring playoff, unfortunately. And I mean, look, I'm rooting for Georgia just to beat the you know what out of all these teams.
Well, if what you have said,
give them a game.
Here's the good news for you, Dave, is that Georgia is about to ransack the top two teams in the Big Ten. That's what's about to happen.
Absolutely.
They will. Ohio State's offensive line will not be able to manage Georgia's defensive line. They won't run the ball. Georgia will be able to control things offensively. They're going to move on. Then they're going to play Michigan, who is definitely better suited to handle Georgia physically this year than last year, but they're not going to beat that football team. So you're going to have the two best teams in the Big Ten, two of the best teams in the country, and I think Georgia's going to handle. I'm not going to say they're going to smoke both of them, but I think they handle both. And Georgia's going to win back-to-back national championships.
Mm-hmm. Cole, thanks for your time. Have a great day, buddy.
Thanks for the call, Dave. Great stuff. Lamar in Bluntsville wants to chime in. Welcome into the show, Lamar.
Hey, Cole. War Eagle, my buddy.
War Eagle, man. Thanks for calling.
You bring you an umbrella. It looks like we're going to get some rain for a few days.
Yep, it's going to be wet. It's all good.
I was talking to you not too long ago, and I was getting everybody fired up. Some people at work heard me calling your show. It's been a while. I love your show, man. Auburn got the offensive line coach from Ole Miss.
Yeah, Jake Thornton. I'm a big fan of Jake Thornton. Jake is a rising star in this profession. I understand there were some pass pro issues early on with Ole Miss last year, but they got him corrected. I don't know why people can't look at that part of it, that they did get better. He's a great recruiter, good energy. You talk to other offensive line coaches that he's been around, they'll tell you that they think he's going to be amazing. But this is the second... If this part's true, and if people want to believe this narrative that he was run out of Ole Miss, you know, Randy Clements was just the O-line coach at North Texas. They had an amazing year offensively. He was run, and now if Jake Thornton was run, you just ran another really good offensive line coach. They were in finals for the Joe Moore Award, and you ran him? So just think about all of it. I love Jake. I think he's great. I hate the fact that Kendall Simmons is not going to get the job because I think he deserves it, but I also hope Kendall can stay on at some capacity. But Jake is a very good offensive line coach.
You believe Tank and the other backs are going to be back next year with us, with Hugh Freeze and Keith and Carnell?
I'm not going to tell you that I have confidence that Tank's going to be back. I don't think he'd be drafted in the first or second round. But so I guess there's a chance. I mean, I guess depending on, from an NIL perspective, what you could put together. But my assumption would be that he would go. But that's just based on prior happenings.
Okay, I love you, buddy. I love you when you played, and I love you on the show. I'm big War Eagle and all the Auburn fans out there. War Eagle to y'all. Good things is coming. Trust me.
Thanks. Have a good day, Cole. Thanks for the call, Lamar. I appreciate that. Let's go to Chuck in Alabaster. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, guys. Hey, I just got a couple comments. Yeah, I think there's a lot of this going on, why people want a Bama in or why people want a Bama out. I'll tell you a story. I've got a brother-in-law that's a big Georgia fan. He did not want Alabama in because he didn't want to have to play Alabama at any point in the playoffs. And then also I've got a coworker that's a Florida fan who cannot stand Georgia, hates Georgia. He wanted Bama to get in because he thought Bama would have the best chance of any of them to knock Alabama out. But also, I've got to think that the committee, and I'd like to get y'all's comment on this, if I have missed it already, that there had to be a little, hey, every time Bama's been on the teeter-totter, they've always gotten in. They've never, you know, got on the low side of the teeter-totter. And also, the committee and the NCAA in general, I don't think they like the scenario. Hey, we took two Big Tens and two SECs, and y'all are three of the Big Five conferences and everyone else. Hey, this is an SEC Big Ten, you know, tournament. What do y'all think about what might have been in the committee's mind on those last two things there?
Appreciate your call, Chuck. I'll answer offline. Two things with that. Number one, if you think that the committee has thoughts like that, thinks that way, wants things to happen that way. Anybody call in the show and tell me what would have been better for ratings? Ohio State and Michigan in one side of the bracket, Georgia, Bama in the other side of the bracket. You call in and tell me what would have been better for ratings? Ohio State and Michigan in one side, Georgia, Bama on the other side. And then the battle of the two big conferences, one of them is going to win a national title. So you're potentially going to have Ohio State or Michigan against Georgia or Bama for the national title. You call in and tell me what would have been better for ratings, because I do not know if there's a better scenario. Now, if we could hop into Doc's DeLorean and go back and get 2010 Auburn and put them in Georgia's place, okay, Alabama, Auburn, Ohio State, Michigan, then they play maybe a little bit better. But for what we have this year, tell me a scenario that the ratings would have been better. And if you also think that they're trying to avoid rematches, a la Ohio, now we have talked about where teams are being placed, and I'm not sure that I like that part of this. But if you're talking about avoiding rematches, you've just announced you're going to 12. Who cares? You essentially make yourself right by having a rematch. Yep. So you put Ohio State against Michigan in the first round, and everybody says, we just saw this. Maybe that's why we're going to 12. Sorry.
There you go.
We couldn't get it done this year. We didn't have the venues. We got bowl games and NFL games, but you know what? Couldn't do it next year, but the year after that, by God, we won't have this problem anymore.
Lock it in.
This thing's over. This thing is done. All right? We realize that this is a mistake, but while we're still here, let's go grab a 20-something rating on this game because we know everybody's going to be watching it.
That's it.
Behem Dog wants to chime in before we go to break. Welcome in, Dog.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, I'm not going to hold your feet to the fire to respond to this. I don't want to put you under that kind of pressure, Cole or Damian, but I keep hearing Bama fans call in, and I'm on so many message boards. Bama's the only team that could have possibly played with Georgia. And I don't understand what part of this Bama team have they seen that looks like they could compete with Georgia. And what part of this Georgia team doesn't look like it might be just a little bit better than it was last year. So I keep saying, well, they will run right through the Big Ten conference. They've been undefeated. If the team that showed up to play Texas A&M, that Bama showed up, they would have got beat by Michigan, Penn State, and Ohio State. Now, the Bama team that showed up to play Mississippi State, I could see it. That team probably could have won this conference, probably been undefeated. So other than your gut feelings, Bama, your feelings, your little bitty little heart saying, we're Bama, so we're better, tell me logically what makes you think that you can step on the field and play with the Georgia Bulldogs. You can answer if you want to, Cole. Go, Dogs.
I appreciate the call, and I'll answer it for you. And I think the answer to that question is the reason that Ohio State's in. They have some of the best players. Simple. Now, is that why they should be in? No. Why do people think that they would be problematic for any four of these teams? It's Bryce Young and Will Anderson. It's Jahmyr Gibbs. It's To'o To'o. It's Jordan Battle. Now, have those guys all operated at an elite level this year? Not all, not every year. Are there problems around some of those guys? At times receiver, at times offensive line, at times defensive front outside of the edge defenders? Yeah. Byron Young's come on a little bit here late, but that wasn't the same most of the year. And collectively not playing as well as some of the other Alabama teams. But to me, I also think that this is the main reason Ohio State's in. We have gotten to the point where we talked about it a little bit earlier. Point spreads, neutral field, who'd be favored. Honestly, I don't care about that. When you're talking about this scenario, I don't care. And the other part about it is we are anointing the team with the best collection of talent in a lot of instances. When people tell you about Ohio State, listen to what they say. Oh, quarterback. Oh, receivers. Oh, tight end. Listen, I love Cade Stover. He's one of my favorite players in college football to watch. But they'll tell you how talented they are. They don't tell you how well they operate as a team. It's hardly ever part of the discussion. You guys realize we just put a football team in the college football playoff that struggled to beat a one-win football team, and the excuse we got was wind? Wind.
Yes.
Freaking wind.
Yes.
Let me tell you something.
Uh-oh.
If I ever have to defend my team via wind, we don't deserve to be in anything. Wind.
Yes.
This is a team that could not or hardly overcame wind and we are defending them. Why? Talented. Look at all those NFL guys. Look how he throws the ball. Look how they catch the ball.
Yeah.
Look how they run the ball after they catch the ball. Look at how one guy gets to the quarterback.
You said one guy gets the quarterback.
I'm just saying, that's what we talk about. They're not great up front on the offensive line. They can't consistently run the football. They don't play sound defense at all times. They're overly aggressive on defense. Why? It's the same reason you see USC got their ass kicked Friday night. USC can't stand up to anyone. So what do? Well, it's typical Alex Grinch. They move on every play. And everybody's going to sit here and tell you that Utah's the best offensive line ever invented, when the reality is, if you go dive into it, half the plays, USC's literally running out of the play. Like, they are slanting out of the possibility of making the play. And then linebackers have free run at the tailback. And what do? They dive at their ankles at the line of scrimmage. I've never seen linebackers dive at running backs' ankles at the line of scrimmage. Today's going to be fun. We got a lot to get to today. We see your calls, 800-239-9569. Keep them coming in. Whatever you do, don't get caught in the cold. Schedule your system checkup now from a Trane Comfort Specialist. You know you can always count on a Trane home comfort system. That's why Trane is America's most reliable and trusted brand in HVAC. They're our official heating and cooling partner at Jocks. Visit Trane.com and to find a comfort specialist near you, it's hard to stop a Trane. Be back with more McElroy and Kubik in the morning next.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. So much to get to today. We mentioned college football playoffs set. Troy takes out Coastal Carolina 45-26 over the weekend. We asked, would Grayson McCall play? That was a big point of the conversation. He does, 29-41 for 319, three touchdowns and a pick. Gunnar Watson just 12 of 17, 318 yards, three touchdowns, no picks. Wide receiver Rozay Johnson, 4 for 134 and two touchdowns. This another example of how John Summerall's team plays the style that they need to play in that particular week. If they need to go score, they go score. If they want to play a slow, grinded out game, they can do that. Carlton Marshall, 9 tackles. He'll have the bowl game to pad on to his all-time NCAA tackles lead, the most in the history of the sport. And they get a Sun Belt championship. Just an unbelievable season for Troy. Congrats to Coach Summerall, Troy Trojans. Really cool to watch. And they finish 11-2 on the season. Just a remarkable year one for John Summerall there in Troy. They won the turnover battle 2-0. Keep in mind, they were outgained and outrushed in this game. And they found a way to win. Once again, we talk about great teams, great football. This Troy team finds different ways to win. Very, very impressive. So kudos to those guys for finding a way to win it. Samford gets a win in overtime, 48-42 against Southeast Louisiana. Quincy Crittenton, the backup quarterback. Now, Hatcher told us Friday he might have to play. 26 of 40, 314, four touchdowns, no picks, 20 carries, 94 rushing yards, game-winning run in overtime.
Another day at the office.
Remarkable.
I was there, man. It was fun to see. And the offense didn't skip a beat at all. Now, defensively, there were some mismatches, but Southeastern Louisiana had some dudes out there. But offensively speaking, I mean, you could tell Hatch didn't didn't hesitate in calling the same exact plays that he would call. Now, the quarterback design runs, yes, Quincy got some. He has some wiggle to him. He is electric with the ball in his hand. And again, when he needed to make a play, when the team needed you the most, two stepped up. A walk-on freshman at that.
It's wild. Problem, and it's been a problem, they were outrushed 348 to 201. And you have North Dakota State coming up.
Yeah.
You can put a smile on a child's face by supporting Children's of Alabama and the Sugar Plum Shop. This is a program designed for patients and families who spend their holidays at the hospital. Drop off new unwrapped toy donations at Royal Automotive before December 13th. For over 50 years, four award-winning dealerships, one family-owned and operated business, it could only be Royal Automotive in Vestavia. The Royal family of stores has been the Magic City source for new and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs for decades. Put all that experience to the test when you visit Royal Pre-Owned Automart, Royal Buick GMC, Royal Volkswagen, or Volvo Cars of Vestavia Hills. You're not going to find a faster, friendly way to shop for a car. Royal is your go-to leader for the models you want, like GMC Sierra, Yukon, Volkswagen Atlas, Buick Enclave, Volvo XC90. Find them all with absolutely no market adjustment fees ever. Find the entire Royal family of stores where I-65 meets Highway 31 in Vestavia. Browse everything online at royalautomotive.net. And remember, for every ride, there's Royal. 800-239-9569. You want to get into today's show. We've got portal. We've got playoffs. We've got games to review. We've got coaching changes. Bowl game announcements. There's a lot happening that we're going to have to jam into 3 hours today, but we want your feedback. Larry is on a cell. You're on the Bud Light Hotline. Larry.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Always enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to make a point. No disrespect to the Bulldoggy fan that just called in, but I can honestly say I get so tired of hearing this, and call me a Bama homer. You can call me whatever. But I could not tell you, I'll be 58 in January, okay? I cannot tell you how many times there's been so many instances where Alabama's been favored, or even if they've been an underdog, just like just a few years ago, guys. My brother-in-law, I love him to death. He's married to my baby sister. Biggest Buckeye fan you've ever met in your life. All I heard for 3 or 4 weeks was how bad Ohio State was going to beat us. And if y'all guys remember, what did Ohio State do to Clemson in that playoff game? They embarrassed them. Trevor Lawrence and company, they embarrassed them. That's all I heard. What did Alabama do to Ohio State? Similar point. Last year when Georgia played us in the SEC championship, they knew that they were going to play in the Final Four. I got tired of hearing all that. But everybody on practically every sports show was talking how bad Georgia was going to be in the SEC. Every time Bama's been in big games, and guys, I don't mean to sound like – I'm just saying the way Bama plays in big games, it's utterly amazing. I can remember back in 88 when Auburn played LSU in the, what they call it, the Richter scale went off that year with Tommy Hodson was their quarterback. The year before, Alabama got embarrassed by LSU in Legion Field with Bobby Humphries as a running back. Alabama played LSU in Baton Rouge. They were 8-0 or 9-0 in that game or that year. And we embarrassed them. There's been so many big games that Alabama's been an underdog. There's no way. 92 now? No, well, there's no way they're going to play with the Hurricanes. No way. So, with no disrespect, Georgia beat us in the national championship. I tip my hat. They beat us fair and square. But we were in that game until the fourth quarter. Don't matter. All I'm trying to say is this young – when Alabama gets in big games, and maybe they didn't have the team they needed this year, obviously – losing on two plays at the last play of the game. But still, when Bama gets in big games, you ask most people, you don't want to see Alabama in a big game. That's just my opinion. They can like it. They can dislike it, whatever. But if you want – I mean, there's so many instances where I could tell you where Bama's been no, – there's no way they're going to win this game. Well, I mean, second and 26, Georgia had us beat. You know, and, of course, his freshman year makes the pass. It's just – You never know. But that's all I wanted to say, guys. And no disrespect to Georgia. I've got nothing but respect for Kirby Smart. I hated losing him as a coach from Alabama. But I knew when he went to Georgia, things were going to change. And look what he's done. He's built I think that's Bama's biggest problem this last two or three years is we haven't had the O-line. Oh, come on, Cole. You're a big O-line man. You played offensive line in college, and you know what you're talking about. But that's been Bama's biggest problem these last few years is they haven't had those five-star linemen. Who's been getting them? Georgia's been getting them.
Well, no, Bama's been getting five-star linemen. They just haven't been playing like it. I mean, you're right that's been a problem, but they're loaded with five-star guys now. Don't get that twisted. They just haven't been playing like it. You're right, but I disagree with they have the five-star linemen. They're there.
But that, I'll have to say for Georgia, what is their bread and butter? They went up front on both sides of the ball, and you know, it's still the same as it's always been. You win football games at the in the trenches, but you know, I just look at it from that perspective. But I just want to say, I no disrespect to the Bulldogs. I one of my best friends growing up was Hamp McCorder. We lived on the same street in Vestavia. I've known Hamp since I was a teenager. Big Bulldog fan, very much so. And I know he's losing to us so many times, but hey, it's their time. But if you think St. Nick's going to lie down, you better think again. That's all I wanted to say, guys. Appreciate your show.
No, we appreciate the call, and it's, you know, some very good points. I would counter with, does a team deserve to be in the playoff because you think they're really good in big games? I don't think that's part of the committee's criteria.
No.
It's tough to argue with. Now, I feel like a lot of Bama fans thought that they were going to run Trevor Lawrence off the field and Deshaun Watson and Ezekiel Elliott. So there have been some.
Yeah, there have been.
But, you know, a few. But you also can't argue that in the majority of big games, Nick Saban's teams have stepped up and played and performed well. I don't know if that would be part of your criteria to be able to get in. Listen, I'm not. My argument against Alabama, if I were to make one, and I could make one against Ohio State, I could make one against Tennessee, I could make one against TCU. My argument against Alabama would be just flat out the resume. And if you're building that argument on, it's the SEC, it's the best conference. Okay, why would you not make the same argument for Tennessee, who had better wins, and yes, not even close, a worse loss, won't debate that, not even close. But if you know, a lot of what I heard yesterday, Damian, was close losses. Didn't hear one word about close wins.
Exactly. And
Texas ain't a world beater, man.
No, they're not.
8-4.
No, they're not.
By the way, TCU manhandled them. If we're going to go back and forth.
No, that's a fact.
If we're going to have the sliding scale.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going on that triple beam.
I said it too. And I was like, so the key word in a lot of these conversations are wins and losses. And the arguments that a lot of Alabama fans were having, I told them, I would even tell them, I was like, okay, I get it, but there are two instances where they didn't perform and they didn't get the job done. No matter how you slice it, yes, I understand you lost on the last play in two games, but there are other times in those games where you could have avoided the situation. We could have avoided getting to this point. When it comes down to it, the resume speaks for itself. And granted, I know the quote-unquote close loss thing. Yes, I get it. I understand it. But I don't think it holds enough validation in what you wanted to get in the 14 playoff.
Maybe I'm just more angry that nobody else towards the end of the season stepped up and took this. Perfect example is USC Friday night.
Boy.
You had a chance to take it. It was right there. Go grab it. Go take it.
Yep.
Oregon had a chance late to potentially take this. Had it in front of them.
Yep.
Couldn't do it. And, you know, some of the teams that slip up early, like we'll go back, I think it was like 18, 17 USC, whatever that was, where they lost early. And then at the end of the year, Sam Darnold, people thought, man, that might be second, third best team in the country. But they had too much had gone wrong early. Kind of same thing with Utah this year. I mean, you look at what Dalton Kincaid does. Look at Cam Rising. The dude gets his helmet popped off, and he just gets right back up and keeps playing football. Yeah, but they screwed it up early. I hate the fact that TCU loses their last game, and they're going to be in the playoff. I hate the fact that Ohio State loses their last game, and they're going to be in the playoff. Because it just makes it feel less big. It makes it feel a little bit less important. And I'm not trying to put the playoff down or anything. I'm not, and I'll continue to say this. There's an argument for and against about four or five teams that you could legitimately make. And I wonder, with Tennessee and Alabama, people are upset with that. It doesn't look right. It might not be right. But I would love to hear the committee discuss how much Hendon Hooker's injury has to do with that. I personally am not on board with that, but because if that's the one crutch that you're standing on, did the backup not just go in and beat an SEC team by 60? I saw it happen.
If you
want to talk about other injuries, by the way, Tennessee had four DBs out in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Your left tackle didn't start, and two other offensive linemen went out in that game. Beat them by 60. JD is in Huntsville, wants to chime in. Welcome into the show, JD.
Hey, good morning, guys. A couple of things. First of all, does the Georgia guy, I mean, the reason that people would say that are Alabama fans is that Georgia hasn't looked great every single game. I mean, they struggled to beat at Missouri. They struggled the first half against Georgia Tech, and they didn't play their best. Like, they scored 16 against Kentucky. So, yeah, I mean, they put 50 on LSU. They also gave up 30, but Georgia hasn't been as good as they were last year. I don't think that's debatable. And Alabama, obviously, it doesn't deserve to be in the playoff. I'm not going to defend that. One of my biggest complaints, though, and by the way, the committee should have put Alabama further back. If you didn't want Alabama to be in this discussion, you should have put them behind Tennessee or even further, like they did in 2019 when they had two losses. But when you put them up there within striking distance, that's what you're going to get. So, but anyway, one of the things I just don't understand is so many members of the media, like Salee, the guy on Fox, can't think of his name all of a sudden, Brando, of course Brando hates Bama, but not celebrating the fact that you have a new member like TCU that's in the playoff. All they want to talk about, Alabama don't deserve it. Alabama don't deserve it. I'm like, okay, well, but they're not. The committee didn't pick them. Talk about the teams that are in there, not the team that is not in. Why is that happening? Are they challenging the fans? Because I don't know a lot of media people that are saying, no, Alabama should be in there. Have you heard media people say that?
Not many, no. There are not many members of the media that have stepped up and said definitively, I think Alabama should be in.
I mean, maybe Jason Whitlock may have referenced it in a tweet or something. Maybe people have said they don't like what you just mentioned, that TCU, you hate the fact that they lost their last game, so it doesn't feel as they didn't, you know, win it to clinch it. But still,
they didn't take it. Like I said earlier, JD, they didn't take it and make us all shut up and not be able to talk about it. That's what I hate.
This is just one of those years. In 2019, we had three undefeated teams in the playoff, and this year, you've got some flawed teams in the playoff, and it's going to happen that, well, it'll happen one more year, and then when we go to 12, there'll be a bunch of flawed teams, and there'll be a whole lot more discussion. So, anyway, I'm not mad Alabama didn't get in. They had a chance. They didn't do it. And so they just have to, you know, Sugar Bowl's a pretty good bowl to go to. Go beat Kansas State and get ready for next year.
Absolutely. Great call, JD. Appreciate it. You can have your hands full on that one, I'll just say. Better show up. Physically, that team will be there. That team will match up. Here's the thing with TCU. They did some good things this year. The middle of that stretch, what it was when it happened, was incredible. Almost deserved to be in just off that. But that teetered. Kansas finished 6-6. Oklahoma State finished 7-5. Oklahoma finished 6-6. Now, when that all happened, it was unbelievable. You did beat six teams over 500. You did beat 2 8-win teams. You did beat a 9-win team. Hell, you beat a 10-win team. You also lost to them. But you beat every team on your schedule. So there are things that we can talk about TCU's resume that potentially would have them in. What bothers me the most is one thing that JD brought up. What bothers me most about this entire process, and we'll discuss this more on the other side, is placement. That cannot happen. That cannot be a part of this process. We'll discuss it more when we come back next, right here on McElroy and Kubelik in the morning.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. 7:53 a.m. It is Monday, December 5th on Jocks 94.5. One thing no homeowner wants to face is an unexpected major expense that can wreck your budget. Kind of like a lot of you didn't want to face a playoff with no Alabama. When you go outside your house, look above the garage door. Are there cracks or shifting in the bricks? You see sagging at the top of the garage door? Kind of like fit in the run. Are there cracks in that? Cracks in your offensive line? It's not good. means there could be a breakdown in your lintel. Can cause all types of problems, can cost you all sorts of money. Find folks at Lintel Lift can help you with that problem and help save you thousands of dollars. Their team of experts knows exactly how to repair it. Lintel Lift uses a patented lintel repair system. They can fix the problem and help save you money. Go to LintelLiftBM.com. Learn more about how they can fix your lintel problems. Take a look at your garage door today. If you don't like what you see, give Lintel Lift a call and ask for Dan the Lintel Man. 205-858-LIFT or go to LintelLiftBM.com. That's 205-858-LIFT or LintelLiftBM.com. Here's an issue that I have across the board, and previous caller brought it up. Placing teams to avoid a rematch cannot happen. I don't know if it's really happening. I don't know if it's a real part of the conversation. Placing certain, like caller said, if you don't want Alabama to be in the discussion, place them lower. It can't happen. And we've seen a scenario where, well, they're going ahead and moving so-and-so up, so if so-and-so loses, they can get in. That cannot happen. I don't know if it's happening. I don't know if it's something that's actually discussed, but teams cannot be placed in certain spots. That cannot be real. It cannot be a real thing that is happening with the committee. Oh, we don't want these two teams to play, so we'll drop one and won't drop the other. We don't want a rematch here, so we can't place this one here. You can't do that. Take the best four teams, rank them, and leave them alone. That's how this should work. And if any of that other stuff is taking place, it's absolute garbage. See you on hold. We'll get to you next.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see, good for my career. Send me to rehab, though, so. I mean, that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.